Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis. I love the book of Genesis 1 and 29, and I want to teach from there tonight. Thank you again for coming on a rainy night. Continue to pray for Brother Doucette and that he gets a full recovery. The Lord healed him Sunday of one thing, and I know he can heal him of the other. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Verse 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He took the man that he made out of dust, put him in the garden that was already made, said, "You can eat of all these things that have seeds in them, and I want you to dress it and keep it." And the Lord God commanded the man. Now see, right after this verse of dress and keep, this is what he says. He made a commandment. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Okay, next verse. "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, all of the trees of the garden had seeds. Let's get that clear. Including the tree of life and including the tree of death. And he said, "You may eat of all of them but one. I put you in the garden to dress it and keep it." I've already made the garden. It's already beautiful. It's already wonderful. It's already ready to pick. It's green. You don't have to fertilize. You just eat. Dress it and eat it. I won't talk about dress it and keep it. That was the first job description, was dress it and keep it. And that is still God's plan today. Lord, we come before you tonight. Hallelujah. In an hour like never before. In a day like never before. And if we ever needed to hear from your word, it's today and tomorrow and the next day. Every day we need further knowledge, further depth, further revelations, because we're living in days our forefathers didn't live in. We're living in days we didn't live in. But it's a new day. But Lord, there's new grace. Your grace is sufficient. For where evil is, your grace does much more abound. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If we can understand the things about God and man before man sinned, then we will discover the perfect will of God. Can you say amen? If we could look at everything in creation, everything that God did, everything that man did before the fall of man, then we would see this was the will of God. Once man falls, we find the will of God changed. His will is none should perish, but all have everlasting life. His will wasn't that he should ever sin in the beginning. He said, just don't do this one thing. But once he did, then the Lord had to kind of change his strategy, because now man has messed up. And he said, "I put you here to dress it and keep it." Now, I've done a little homework for you, so you don't have to do it. I looked up this word dress, and it's not what the skirt you're wearing tonight. Okay, this is not what we're talking about. It's totally different. But this word dress is constantly used in the Bible, maybe a dozen times or so, and it's always used in the same way. So I beg you, let's don't use it different here tonight in this one word as it is throughout the rest of the Bible. This would not be an exception in my mind. This word dress means to prepare something for something else, to eat it or to offer it as a sacrifice. Because what you would find is, any of you hunters ever dressed a dove? Huh? Yeah, you dressed a dove, you dressed fish before. What? You didn't put a skirt on, did you? Or put clothes on? No, what you did was you trimmed away what you didn't want to eat or keep, right? you trimmed away. That was dress. That's what dress means here. And so when we find that when this word dress in Moses' law also meant the same thing. It meant to trim away the unwanted part and the undesirable part, the unclean part, if you will, and discard it. And so that all that remains is what you either want to consume or keep, right? So dress it and keep it. You getting the concept already? So dress it so that you will get rid of what we don't want and keep what we do want. Dress it, keep it. So I could have brought the last peach I had in my crisper, but my wife's been eating them, so I thought I would save it for her. But I was going to take and dress a peach for you. I was going to take, you see, and peel it, wash it, peel it. And then after I dress it, what's left, I throw away what I don't want to eat, right? And what's left is the fruit. But there's something else left, the seed. So it's really dress it, eat it, and keep it. There you go. It's dress it, eat it, and keep it. So he's saying dress it and keep it. So I've never understood this before, so I'm going to enlighten you on something here tonight, and I hope that you agree. If you do, if you don't tell me. And the Lord told Adam that he had given him every herb. You see, we lead up to this. When you read this, we lead up to this. And he's telling, we give you every herb bearing seed. He didn't just say, hey, yeah, all the fruit you want. He made sure and made it clear that every herb and every tree that bears fruit that has the seed in it is your meat. Yeah, it has the seed in it. There's a reason why that's important. See, in my little mind, I didn't understand this because I just kind of thought that Adam lived in this garden and it was already perhaps had fruit in it, and maybe it did. And what I didn't think about, he may have lived thousands of years. I always think he lived, maybe 30 or 40 years, and then. But you know what? Trees don't live thousands of years. So that lets me know that if he don't plant, he doesn't eat again. And that's why he said, you got to keep this. Now, he didn't have to till the ground because the Bible says no man to till the ground. But it was so fertile, he just stick that seed in the ground, up it come. And a few years later, he could eat off of that too. But if you don't keep your seed, if you consume your seed, that's why we call, the Bible talks about even your tithes being your seed, because that's that first 10%. And what happens if you consume your seed, then you have nothing to eat. You'll eat the other 90%. You didn't plant anything. And so there's some reasoning to this. And so we have to be careful we don't consume our seed. And so he's told him to dress it and keep it because in my mind now I understand that I believe that Adam dressed the fruit, because it was, I eat some things with peeling, some things I don't. Try to eat a pineapple without cutting the peeling away. Yeah, now you got the picture. Dress it and keep it. Dress it, eat the fruit, but keep the seed because you're going to need that seed, Adam. Okay, y'all already got my thought here. And so I believe that it was God's intention for Adam to plant a seed and have another harvest and another harvest. And he didn't have to till the ground or work at it. He just planted the seed. It was kind of like his own promised land, if you will, right? And all he had to do was just plant the seed and up it would come. So it's clear now to see that God had put him in this garden, not just to trim the bushes. See, that's the way I'd always looked at it. Just trim the bushes up and don't let it overgrow. Now I see this totally different because what led him into saying this was the seed in it. It's all about this seed thing. And it still is. And so technically, I believe that Adam would dress the garden. I do think he may need to trim it up. I don't know. But I do know this. He would dress the fruit, and then he would eat it for meat, the Bible said, and then he would keep the seed. And so the Lord gives him a commandment to freely eat of everything but of one tree, because all the trees that are mentioned had seeds in them. Even the tree of knowledge of good and evil, had a seed in it. But let me tell you, if the seed is bad, the fruit is bad. And so he said, don't eat of that fruit, because he knew the seed was bad. Because if you consume the fruit, you get the seed too. Because that is a product of that seed. See? When you eat the fruit, it's a product of the seed before it. So when you eat the fruit of good and evil, it came from evil. The fruit came from evil, and the seed that in it is evil. And that's why he talks, can a fig tree bring forth thorns or thistles? No, it's going to bring forth what it is. So when he eats of the fruit, he's already eating of the seed that was planted from an evil one. Okay. And so he called it this forbidden fruit. And the problem was, it looked like the rest of the fruit. It looked good to the eyes, the Bible said. It looked pleasant to the eyes. It looked good for food. And it wanted to make one wise and all these things. But it had a bad seed. And a lot of times when you look at people, you don't know the seed. You see, because sometimes you really got to know someone before you get to the seed. But it's the seed that matters, because that's the next fruit. And so the woman did eat of the fruit and gave to her husband. He ate also. And I don't know this, but I'm just going to say this. They swallowed the seed. They swallowed the seed. Because when they ate of it, it's just like eating the seed. That's the next thing, is the seed. And so whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So they ate of this fruit. See, what did Adam do with all those seeds? You see, that's why it was dress it, keep it. If he ate, say for example, an apple, what did he do with the seeds? Just threw them away? No, he kept those seeds. And so now what is he going to do with this seed? What do I do with this? Whatsoever you sow, you see, you can't help but plant it now. That shall you also reap. And so when you look at when they ate this, their eyes were opened, and then they saw themselves as being naked, and here comes the curse. Guess where the curse was? The seed of the woman, right? The seed of the woman. There'll be enmity between her seed and the seed that she ate. You see? So she ate of that tree. Now her seed's mixed with this seed. We're going to have a bad tree. We're going to have a bad generation, right? It's almost like cross pollination, if you will, or grafting, if you will. And so, but the most important thing to glean out of this is that he gave them a commandment. He gave them a commandment. First, he gave them this beautiful garden. And then he gave them a commandment. You can eat of all of this, but the day that you eat of that, you lose all of this. Okay. And so we see here that if you keep his commandments, then you keep his blessings. But if you don't keep his, you can't keep his blessings if you don't keep his commandments. Did you get that? See, he brings you into blessings and he says, keep my commandments. But if you don't keep his commandments, you can't keep his blessings. As long as Adam kept the commandment, he kept the blessings. But when he broke the commandment, he lost the blessings. Keep it, dress it, and keep it. There's a concept here of getting away of the evil part. Dress it and keep it. Oh, it's going to get better. And so we look at God's word. He's looking for keepers tonight. He's looking for people that will keep his word, right? Think ahead, the New Testament. Keep my command. He's always looking for keepers. You see, there's some people I'll tell my secret to one time. And there's a reason it's one time. They don't keep it. Because they'll give somebody else, let me tell you what he told me, but don't tell anybody, I told you. And they tell everybody, it gets back to me, and they're telling me, let me tell you what I heard. Well, that's what I said to them. It just made the circle. And so we find out who we can trust to keep things, right? So the most important thing I began to realize in studying this, the first commandment was keep it. Dress it, keep it. I've already given it to you. You just got to keep what I've given you. You don't have to labor to get it because you can't get it. You can't do it. You can't make it happen. But I will bless you so much. But if you don't keep it, keep my commandment, but don't eat of that. But if you keep it, you can keep the blessings to go along with it. But if you don't keep it, you lose the blessings. And so what we see here is that this commandment is even for us today to keep it, dress it, and keep it. You go on down, you look just one more generation, you see Cain. Guess what Cain was? The Bible says that he was a tiller of the ground. What was the curse to Adam? To till the ground, right? So he was of that generation of the curse. But he had a brother who was a keeper of sheep. You see? So it lets us know he's a keeper of things. So you know what? He also kept the word of God so that he brought the right sacrifice. He was a keeper of God's word. But his brother was not. And the Lord told him, I don't have respect for your sacrifice, but I'm not going to charge this sin to you. It's not going to be imputed to you unless you don't follow through. He said, if you don't, then sin lies at the door. He said, blessed is the man whom God does not impute sin to. So you can sin, but it's not sin until it's imputed, right? And so he says, I'm not going to impute it unless you go any further and don't ask for forgiveness and get it right. I'm a patient God. But he doesn't. He goes to his brother and he slays his brother. And here comes God asking questions again as he did with Adam. You see, he had to say, wherefore art thou? It's the same principle. He goes to the cursed one. He says, where is thy brother Abel? And he said, am I my brother's? See, I'm not a keeper. I'm not a keeper. He said, no, you're right. You're not a keeper. Therefore, he drove him out of the presence of the Lord into another land because he wasn't a keeper. God's looking for keepers. Who? I mean, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah, I'd clap my hands too because he's looking for people that can keep his word, keep his promises. And when you keep those things, you keep the blessings. Well, keepers. Anybody ever say we're playing for keeps? You ever said that? Yeah. Noah was a keeper. I mean, we could look down the generations of time. He said with Noah, he said, I'm going to establish my covenant and you shall come into the ark and your seed, your sons and their wives and their sons' wives. Just keep my commandment and I'll keep you and your seed. Mamas and daddies don't understand how important it is that they keep God's commandment because he said, if you don't remember me, then I will forget your children. You've got to keep the commandment of God. And God said, if you will keep my commandment, Noah, then I will keep you and your seed. Dress it and keep it. And so he tells him, all the living flesh, I'm going to cause them to go into the ark and you shall keep them alive. You're a keeper. Noah was a keeper. Oh, Lord. And thus did Noah according to all that God had said. So we see this pattern of keep my word and I'll keep you and I'll keep your seed. You keep the blessings. Here's what he's saying. You keep what I created and I'll keep what you created. You keep my seed, I keep your seed. Hallelujah. Abraham was a keeper, right? He established a covenant with him. He said, my covenant I do establish between me and thee and thy seed forever, for an everlasting covenant, and to thy seed after thee. You see, this covenant is you keep my covenant, I keep your covenant. You keep my seed, I keep your seed. You keep my stuff, I keep your stuff. And so here we have Abraham comes into an agreement with God. Now watch closely. This is going to really mess your mind up. He comes into a covenant with God by circumcision. He said, my covenant is this, that ye circumcise every male child, yourself and every male child of your seed. Now what is circumcision? Dressing. Dressing. Cut it away. Throw it away. Right? It is the cleaning up out of the fruit of the loins, and you keep the seed. See, that's what he's saying. You trim away the flesh, you keep the fruit of the loins and the seed that's produced by the fruit of the loins. I'll protect that. Keep it. So if you keep my commandments, you keep your seed. Ha! Hallelujah. I can't speak for anybody but myself, and I haven't been a perfect parent, and I'll admit that, but my seed is here today. So my seed is here because, David, I kept the commandment of God. I kept his commandment. And Melanie, I kept God's commandment. And so when you keep God's commandment, he keeps your seed. And it's not to say that they can do what they want to now. But I believe that no matter what they do, God's going to bring them back in. Amen. Paul told the church at Rome, he said, circumcision is no longer of the outer flesh of the heart, but of a man, but it is of a man's heart. And now we dress our heart, right? We cut away the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We cut these things away that we might keep the seed, that the seed may remain. So we dress it and keep it. It's a very simple commandment, very simple thought. Dress your heart and keep the seed. What is the seed? The Word of God, right? Throughout the Bible, the parable was given that the seed was the Word of God. And so if you have the Word of God and it's the seed, what does it bring forth? More fruit, right? More fruit. So let's read real quick. Now I won't keep you much too much longer. Luke 8 and 10. See, this is that parable that he said, if you don't understand this parable, he said, you don't understand any of them. So I like this one better than all of them. And he said unto them, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, I speak in parallels, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. You know, that sounds kind of like, why would he not want them to see?